everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. This week, you know, I want to jump back into Philippians. We still have chapter 4 to go through. And we've, you know, if you've listened to several of these podcasts, you know that I started and I did chapter 1. And then we, you know, we took a couple weeks and did something else. And then I did chapter 2 and 3. And so now we got to finish up chapter 4. And then we'll just see where that takes us. You know, if we're going to do another book or if we're going to maybe change and just be more topical or more interview based. And we'll just figure it out together. So as we start chapter 4 of Philippians, we got to ask a couple questions, right? And one of those would be, what are the marks, like what makes somebody a Christian? How do we determine if someone is Christian? You know, it's strange in today's society how we categorize people, right? We characterize what they do. And, you know, we may call somebody a country person or, you know, oh, that person lives in the city or they're a yuppie or somebody's sophisticated or they're not, or maybe they're a biker, right? I mean, like me. But how do you go about characterizing Christians? Because they could be rural or urban. They could be uneducated or educated. They could be a biker or not, right? How do you characterize them? You know, the outward appearance or marks that we often characterize people with, they really fail when we're looking at what are the characteristics of a Christian, what makes a Christian. And so as we start to look at Philippians chapter 4, these first, the first verses, right, 1-7, Paul gives us these characteristics, right? They're the definite traits of what I think are the characteristics of what a Christian looks like. And so we're going to start with reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 1-7, and then we'll unpack it a little bit, you know, as we go through the verses like I did on the other chapters of Philippians. So we'll start with verse 1, chapter 4 of Philippians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended on my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when we look at these verses, right, when we look at verses 1-3, we see that love is the mark of a Christian, right? It's an inclusive love. We see a love that is inclusive. You have to notice that the love that Paul expresses for the Christians in Philippi included Euodius and Clement. And we're often, unfortunately, we're often pretty selective in our love. You know, sometimes we only love those people who seem to be lovable or who love us in return or love the same things that we love, right? Have you recognized that? I think I have in my life, right? Have you recognized in your own life, like, are you loving the people who love what you love? You know, I think as Christians, I hear a lot of people say, and I've said it myself, right? We often say things like, love everybody, love everyone. But do you actually see yourself doing that? You know, I think that's hard for us. I mean, think about it. Do you see yourself loving everyone? And what does that look like? What does loving them mean? You know, God's not like that. He loves all of us, even when we don't deserve to be loved. I think especially when we don't deserve to be loved, right? We live in a fallen world. And I know that there's been plenty of times in my life that I don't think I deserve to be loved, but God still loved me. You know, if we're going to love like God, to love like God teaches us, we have to let our love reach out to everyone. And not only is this love inclusive, it's also a concerning love. Like we have to be concerned for people. And love always expresses concern for the one who you are loving, right? The one who is loved. And Paul calls the people in Philippi at the beginning of this his joy and crown. He was concerned about them even though he was separated from them, right? He had this concerning, inclusive love that he expressed to them. And he expressed that by calling him his joy and crown. And then as we move to verse 4, I think it's obvious that, you know, that Paul's joy is in Christ. It's clear that this joy is, well, it's a hallmark of the letter to the church in Philippi, you know, and joy is clearly it's a certain like mark of a Christian, right? It's the surefire mark of a Christian. Like, you know that somebody's a Christian, like they have this joy. And this joy is what we learn from Paul. The joy that we learn about from Paul, it's constant, right? Paul said that Christians are to rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when times are good, but also when they're bad. And I think we should rejoice in the Lord, especially when things are bad, because we need Christ. We need Christ to give us joy again. We need Christ to give it to us when we're down. You know, I think not only is it constant and that we should rejoice always, I think that it's also an independent joy, right? A joy that is in the Lord. And what this means is that joy is independent of whatever is going on in your life, right? Your life could be having problems, but your joy should be independent of that. That means whatever the circumstances are, good or bad, you can have joy. You can rejoice in the Lord. And when your joy is in the Lord, it can be experienced and expressed even when there doesn't appear to be much reason for it. Even when you think there is no reason for me to have joy, you can. You know, there's lots of times and lots of situations in our lives that we don't feel like there's any chance for joy. But when we stay in that place, when we stay in that place of being in the Lord, we can be joyful regardless of what's going on in the world. That's why Christ is so important. That's why it's so important to be present with Christ, to rejoice in the Lord. You know, I think sometimes the pressures of life, the trials of life, make it impossible to be happy, make it feel like it's impossible to have joy. But, you know, Paul didn't tell his readers to be happy. He encouraged them to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 4, he tells us to rejoice not once, but twice. You know, Christ is the one where the rejoicing is going to take place, right? Rejoice in the Lord. That's the sphere of rejoicing. He's the one. He's the only one. You know, there are certainly many circumstances in which, as Christians, we're not going to be happy. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. We can always delight in Him. You know, Paul's a perfect example of this. You know, he had this inner joy. And it didn't matter what the circumstances were that he was living in at the moment. I mean, think about it, right? He's imprisoned. He's persecuted. He's threatened. Threatened with death. But he still rejoiced in the Lord. He still had joy. And I think that's an example we have to really look at. That's an example that we have to take to heart. That whatever the external issues going on are, we have to rejoice in the Lord. We can still have joy. We can still delight in Him. We just have to turn to Christ. And then we'll move on to verse 5, right? Verse 5 talks about gentleness, right? Gentleness, That kind of is the person, when you're gentle, you're willing to give up something that could rightfully be yours, but you give it up, right? You're showing mercy. Be gentle. And you're doing that because the Lord is near, right? Everything that we do as Christians, we need to do with the understanding that the Lord is present with us, that the Lord is seeking to live out Christ's life on earth through us. We must act with gentleness towards others. When it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, it's telling us that we must have Christ-like consideration for everyone, everywhere, every day. Period. It's not negotiable, right? Christ-like consideration for everyone. And if we're going to be gentle, we also have to have peace, right? If we look at verses 6 and 7, you know, when I read these next two verses, I get this feeling of how Paul is expressing how we have peace in Jesus. But he's really expressing it kind of forcefully. And I can't think of another place that it is as forceful as it is in these two verses. And maybe that's just for me, right? That's, you know, we say a lot that when you read the Bible, and the reason we read it over and over and over again is because you're going to hear what God wants you to hear at that moment in time. And so as I was studying for this and getting prepared, these two verses were pretty, like, you know, hit you in the face. Whatever the circumstances, as Christians, we should not be crippled by anxiety. You know, bad things happen. Bad situations occur. But we have to meet them with prayer. And prayer and praise, right? And where prayer and praise exist, there's this promise from God. There's this promise of peace. There's this promise that God will keep the hearts and minds of Christians guarded, right? That term guard in verse 7, it's a military term. We all know it is. God's peace will stand guard over Christians. And as we reflect on verse 7, we should have peace. God's promise of his presence, it should bring you peace. It brings me peace. If you are struggling with something, give it to God. That's his promise that he's going to bring peace to you. But he can't bring it to you if you don't give it to him. So as we think through this, how do you tell who the Christians are? I mean, that's what we started with, right? We started asking a question. How do we determine if someone is Christian? I think if you look at what we've talked about in these first 7 verses and ask yourself, do you fit into this? Would people see you and say, that's a good Christian right there? I pray that they say that to me or about me, right? But all I can do is live every day trying to be better, to maintain that joy, to maintain that gentleness, to maintain that love, to maintain that peace day after day. And I can only do that with God because it's overwhelming, right? You can get overwhelmed easily. It's easy to say, just there's no joy today, or nobody loves me, or why do you want me to be gentle to that person? Well, rejoice in the Lord. Every day. Rejoice in the Lord. Be at peace through prayer and praise, regardless of what the situation may be. I really want you to think about that, and I really want you to pray about it. Think about, what does it look like? What would people say when they see you? How do you tell who the Christians are? Hey, it's Rick. I'm just so thankful that you listen. as we continue down this path, we'll finish up Philippians and we'll just see where it takes us and what's next. I hope you have a blessed week. I love you. You know, if you like what you hear, subscribe, share it with your friends. Let me know.